And by the way, don't forget the beginning of that segment when I started it. It was a 1957 article from Time magazine in which at that point it was the old guard that was more conservative than what would be called the new guard. And the old guard fussing because as the Goldwater Republicans were the old guard, fussing about the Eisenhower Republicans being too soft and losing their principles. Now it's just the opposite. Now we have the majority of what I would call the conservatives. Some are more libertarian-minded, but for the most part, they're just conservative in general, are the ones who are irritated with the constant level of squishiness that you find in the moderates who are the old guard now. Interesting. Very interesting. And that's the Republican side of things. That's not even taking into account the Democrats who have their own issues with their absolutely maddening progressive left like the Squad and other members, the Swalwells and the Schiffs and all of them. Well, they've got their own problems because at some point the old guard almost seems to be keeping them at bay, maybe for the right reasons. I don't know. Bottom line is, how do you feel about it? Text it in. We'll be glad to hear from you. I'm moving on to the next topic, though. And in a few minutes, we're going to have a call from State Representative Philip Insler. I reached out to him and got him on the line. He is, by the way, a Democrat. And there are some things, though, that are bipartisan. And I never mind having an opposing opinion on this show as long as you're prepared to debate the topic. Don't think you can call in and be given free rein on my show. If you disagree with me, you're going to have to deal with the debate. You know, hence the fact that Kareem calls in and we fuss back and forth and then we sign off well. And I've had State Representative Anthony Daniels on the show before, who actually brought some bills that made me wonder if he was really a Democrat. In the meantime, we've got State Representative Philip Insler, who is, by the way, he's a true Democrat. He's done a number of things policy-wise that I probably wouldn't agree with. He's worked for Mayor Stephen Reed, the mayor of Montgomery, who I never agree with. And yet, at the same time, he's also the only Jewish member of the Alabama legislature who was in his synagogue when they got a bomb threat this past weekend. He's also the executive director of the Jewish Federation of Central Alabama. So I'm interested to get his perspective on what we're seeing in a nationwide trend. I hate the fact that it's a trend. This irritates the crap out of me. I hate the fact that anti-Semitism is trending right now. This is America. The calls that we are systemically racist, in my opinion, are bunk. But does it mean that we are incident-free? No, it doesn't. You're never going to be able to live in a world in which everyone always is just doing things smoothly and without difficulty and there's no controversy and everybody looks at each other fairly and evenly. It's probably not ever going to happen. We can go ahead and stand against racism. But what I'm curious about is why there has been such a trend towards racial racism being, you know, touted as, you know, it's always here. You got to do this and BLM and you can't say all lives matter. It's only Black Lives Matter and all the, and we're dealing with that constantly. And yet the polling is indicating that there is a generation of people in this nation that do not see the issue with saying that anti-Semitism is wrong. And I don't get that. I don't get it. There's never been a time in my life that I can recall understanding where anti-Semitism comes from. Is it pure jealousy because of successful business efforts? Is it something that's of a purely spiritual nature? It's kind of baked into the fabric of the spiritual war in the heavenlies. Is it something that is in some way related to what? But here's the thing. Daily Wire, Ben Shapiro, has an article that just came out. Ben Shapiro, keep in mind, he's Jewish himself. And this article is, I mean, I can't even get through all of it because there's so much here. But it's the polling that is just, it'll blow your mind, y'all. He says, we've seen a lot of disturbing poll results over the course of the last few decades. But he's never seen a more disturbing poll than the one that was recently done by Harvard Harris that came out over the weekend. Said, according to the latest Harvard-Harris poll, while a strong majority of every age group agrees that the October 7th terrorist slaughter of 1,200 Israelis and the kidnapping of another 240 was indeed a genocidal terror attack, 60% of people aged 18 to 24 said that the genocidal terror attack could be justified by the grievances of the Palestinians. Let that sink in. Well, they had grievances. Israel brought it on. That's why it happened. But it was a genocidal terror attack against women and children and the elderly. And it wasn't just like they went to war with armed combatants. They were like, you realize they were like mutilating people. Babies were being taken hostage. Women were being raped repeatedly. Yeah, but the Israelis, they brought it on. Excuse me? And he says, that's correct. While two-thirds of the 18 to 24-year-olds agree that Hamas's terror attacks were genocidal, 6 in 10 of them said they could be justified. Then he goes on to say, it gets worse. Every age group in America except for 18 to 24-year-olds sides with Israel against Hamas. The older you are, the less crazy you are, apparently, he says, with those 65 and older siding 96-4 against Hamas. But for the younger generation, the numbers are split 50-50. Then he says, just wait, it gets worse. When asked about whether students on campuses who call for the genocide of Jews should be punished for violating university rules, most Americans of all age groups say yes. Not because they oppose free speech, but because they also recognize that these type of offenses, calling for the genocide, the extermination of a people, are not right. Everyone agrees with that, he says, except for the 18 to 24-year-olds who believe that while such speech might be hate speech, that 53% of them believe they ought to be told that they are free to call for that genocide if they want to. 58% also agree that Hamas would indeed like to commit more genocide. And yet 76% of those also think that Hamas can be negotiated with. Yeah. Let me make sure you understand. Those that would create genocide are usually only going to negotiate from the standpoint of saving themselves as opposed to doing good things. And then he said, here's the kicker. 51% of 18 to 24-year-olds think the long-term answer to the Israel-Palestine dispute is for Israel to be ended and given to Hamas and the Palestinians. It goes on from there. But I look at this and I think, how did we have a generation come up that thought that way? What did we do wrong when they were younger, at least for a solid chunk of them? How did it come to the point that they can say, you know, it's Israel's fault, man. It's just their fault. Well, I mean, there's a variety of ways you can look at it. What they were or were not taught in school. What values they were or were not given in their households. Were they raised as people of faith, or were they agnostic and they look at things purely from a worldly, secular standpoint? Any number of things could add to it, or all of the above. And I'm just telling you, it's a mess, y'all. And these 18 to 24-year-olds, I'm hoping these skulls full of mush get a dose of reality sometime soon because they're the future leaders of this country. All right, we're coming right back with a call from State Representative Philip Insler. I look forward to hearing his thoughts. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. We will be right back. All you Right Side ruffians out there, you are listening to Right Side Radio, solid conservative, just plain right. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative and just plain right. Just covering down on some major ground across the northern half of the most beautiful state in the nation. This one right here, Alabama. I'm talking about y'all. This show goes like way down south of Birmingham and up north of Huntsville and Tuscaloosa, back to Gadsden, parts of Georgia, Tennessee, even Mississippi, all thrown in just for good measure. All right, so we're in number two of the Triple Dipper for the day. And I'm calling this whole section anti-Semitic angst. And I'm talking about, granted, there will always be issues, and I'm not excusing it when I say that, but there will always be issues among people who think other people are just not their kind of people. And I, but I don't understand anti-Semitism. I never have. I don't get it. I don't know where it comes from. And the reality is we are seeing right now, probably exacerbated by the October 7th massacre in Israel, we're seeing what, by all accounts, appears to be an uptick. And don't think it's just out there, all right? Don't think it's just somewhere else. Because we had multiple synagogues in the state of Alabama that received bomb threats just this past weekend. On the line right now, State Representative Philip Insler. He is a freshman Democrat state representative who represents House District 74 in the Alabama State House. He's also the executive director of the Jewish Federation of Central Alabama. And he was at one of those synagogues, and I thought, you know what, I'm going to reach out and see if he's available. So, Representative Insler, how you doing?
I'm doing okay, and thank you so much for having me on to talk about this really important situation. I'd be lying if I said it hasn't been a difficult few days since the bomb threats this past Saturday, but thankfully we're safe and okay, and it was just a threat, and fortunately nothing worse than that.
Well, I'm so glad that that it does appear to have been a hoax, but nonetheless a hoax that was perpetrated all over the place. I want to say what, 6 synagogues around the state of Alabama that all received the same threat. Is that right?
So even more than that. So it was 6 out of 7 in central Alabama, which includes, just by the way we break up the state, that included Auburn, Selma, and then down in Dothan. But my understanding is congregations, to a lot of where your listeners are in the Birmingham area up to Huntsville, that they received the threats as well. And it's incredibly unnerving. It's troubling. And right, just because we were okay this time, it doesn't mean that we're not going to be incredibly vigilant, and doesn't mean that because of the numbers you just cited with the rise in anti-Semitism, we're going to have to be that much more on edge and have security measures in place to make sure that we can worship safely and freely.
Yeah, I totally agree. And I follow you on Twitter. That's where I became aware of it, because you actually put out a tweet. And am I correct in saying that y'all were actually, you are actually, the congregation was gathered at your synagogue when the threat was made known and you had to actually evacuate? Is that right?
Correct. So Saturday morning on the Sabbath, we have a service in the morning, and I was at home, and then someone in Selma who got the threat at the congregation in Selma reached out to me telling me, and then what I did was go and check my email and saw that the Jewish Federation got it, and then the synagogue and another congregation in Montgomery were all on that same email. So I immediately called 911. And quickly then drove over to the synagogue, and with Montgomery police, that we evacuated the people that were in there. They had to stand outside and wait for a bomb sniffing dog to secure the whole property. And again, thankfully nothing was found. And it would have been troubling at any time, but to have it interrupted in the middle of a worship service on the Sabbath, which is of course supposed to be a day of rest and a day of extra peacefulness, it was even that much scarier for it to happen during that period.
No, I would agree. Now, let me ask you this before we even move on from that, just as a practical matter. Have they been able to trace these bomb threats? Do they know where it came from? Has anybody been taken into custody yet?
Not that I'm aware of, but I know that local law enforcement and FBI are diligently looking into it, and I have every faith in them that they'll try to track down and hopefully identify the culprit and hold that person accountable.
Well, and I hope too that your congregation will almost immediately be able to gather together again. Almost, I don't want to say in defiance, because you don't want to go to church for defiance. You don't want to go to synagogue for defiance. You don't want to arrive at temple with a defiant attitude. But nonetheless, I hope that y'all are still able to gather for all the right reasons, technically almost in defiance of this kind of thing.
No, and I think that's exactly right. That the worst thing we can do is to let those people win, and whoever it is that was behind it, right? They want us to not gather. They want us to be afraid, and we certainly need to be mindful and smart. But I think right, going with that attitude of we're going to continue to come together, and we're going to continue to do what we've been doing, with security measures in place. But right, I think that's the best way to respond to it is to continue to come together as a community. And it's really been uplifting to hear from so many people, including you, you know, who have just been genuinely concerned, and that means a lot.
Well, I appreciate that, and let me ask you, in your other capacity outside of the state house, you I understand you're the executive director of the Jewish Federation of Central Alabama. Did I say that correctly?
That's correct, right? And you know, just this past Thursday, the 2 days before the threat, the Jewish Federation had a great Hanukkah celebration. We had several throughout the week, and you know, it was a great time. We had lots of really joyful celebrations, and did so in a peaceful way without any threats, and we'll continue to do those things. And the Jewish Federation, we work closely with the Jewish congregation, so I work closely with the rabbis, and what we do is plan events, and also something we do is help support needs in Israel. So certainly with what's happening, we've been very involved. The Jewish Federation nationally has partners on the ground in Israel that provide everything from mental health services to transportation to housing needs, food assistance. So we've really been engaged, you know, on that front as well. So we do a lot locally, but also throughout the world.
Well, I would imagine, though, in that position, more than the average member of the congregation, you probably have your finger on the pulse of things within the broader Jewish community. So is this, in your opinion, are we seeing an uptick of anti-Semitism around the nation?
We are. No, and the numbers don't lie, and in the sense that the reports of incidents, the tracking of hate crimes certainly is up. And then, of course, anecdotally, you know, we I think most of us see on the news and see, what's happening as far as these threats. And it's disturbing. But there's also a sense that at least, within the Jewish community, there's a lot of solidarity. It doesn't mean that everybody agrees with each other all the time on everything. But in this darkness, in this really difficult time, there's also a lot of coming together to be there for one another. And like I said, they're also, look for all the people that are against us and are spewing hatred. There are also a lot of people that are showing their support, and that really means a lot.
Well, I hate to even ask this like extremely broad question. All right. So if you answer it as best you can, but as a member of the Jewish community yourself, where does this come from? I mean, I look at it and think, I get the fact that there's going to be skulls full of mush who just think they understand world events and they really don't. I think there's going to be others who are led astray by some form of radicalism. And then I think there's going to be some who come from an entirely different perspective, like whether it be radical Islam or something else. But all that to say, this is still America. And you look at it and go, what the heck, man? I mean, where does this come from, in your opinion?
It's a great I ask myself that question frequently, and I find myself asking rabbis that and asking scholars and a couple things that I'll point out that I just read or discussed even recently. One piece that I just read that was really insightful, I thought, was that it talked about going back to Judaism being the first monotheistic religion, of course, meaning the first religion to believe in one God, that even back then, roughly 3,000 years ago, that the initial hatred of Jews was around that there was this commitment to something that was very different. And then within that, the ethics and the values that came within the Torah, within the Old Testament, and that value system was very different. It wasn't obedient or beholden to any one person or to a king on earth or to a individual. It was to follow God, to follow the one God. So that was, I thought, a really interesting piece talking about kind of in the long history of it. But even more recently, in the last 100 years, Henry Ford here in the United States printed in mass, he printed out the booklet of basically calling the international Jew and used language from the Protocols of the Elders of Zion, which was a lot of Jewish conspiracy theories about Jews. So even have prominent people like Henry Ford, here in the United States, pushing some of that agenda. And now today, though, you see, that people from, even on kind of both far ends of the political spectrum and people of different backgrounds that are then still buying into some of that. But all that to say that I think a lot of people that hate Jews today don't even, and I'm laughing because it's so sad, they don't even know why. I think they hear someone else, you know, with a slogan, or they hear someone else say something. You know, look, there's some good on social media that it brings us together in certain ways. Look, it connected you and I. But there's also so much out there where one person will see it and then believe it. And I think that's a lot of it today, is that people don't even know why. They just kind of jumped on the bandwagon.
Well, and I, you know what? I would agree with that. Let me ask you this. In the few minutes we have left, we got about 3 or 4 minutes tops.
Sure.
So the issues, not the issues, the war in Gaza right now is at epic levels. And, you know, I'd love your perspective on this. But it's not quite the same. I won't equate anti-Semitism with the war in Gaza, because there are reasons why Israel can act as a sovereign nation without it being about their faith. But nonetheless, there's also the religious, you know, tolerance and intolerance piece that's built into it. And just a war on Jews in general that comes out of the radicals in Hamas. That being said, where do you see this going within the U.S. sentiment right now? Because we're seeing a mixed bag of what some people are saying that Israel should or should not do. What do you think?
Yeah, no, and I appreciate you distinguishing, because I know that we do often talk about anti-Semitism in the United States in relation to what's happening in Israel, and there's certainly a lot of overlap, and we see a rise, I think, that's attributed towards what's happening overseas. But certainly, right, there are some distinctions. Look, I think that Israel has to defeat Hamas, and you know, every day Hamas has the opportunity to unconditionally surrender and give up and stop inflicting terror. But they continue to fight. They continue to decide that the value of human life of Palestinians does not matter to them. And it's tragic how many civilians are dying. It's horrible. But Hamas made that decision to attack Israel, and they've made the decision to hide themselves amongst the civilian population. And right, Israel has every right, you know, to respond and to make sure that Hamas can no longer inflict that harm. And you know, I've heard some people say, well, that Hamas will regroup and there'll be a next generation. Well, you know, look, that doesn't mean that you don't dismantle them now and stop them from being able to inflict harm and terror in the near future. You know, that can be said about any decision, right? Anything we do for national security purposes, down the road, of course, some other group or the same group can reemerge in a different way, but it doesn't mean that we just give them a free pass in the moment. And you know, with the United States opinion, look, Israel has, in its existence, has not always had a lot of international support. And, you know, whatever the world opinion is, and even within the United States, if that's changing, Israel knows what it needs to do. And I have every, you know, confidence that their leadership is going to follow through on what they said they were going to do, and that's to dismantle Hamas and protect Israeli people, and in the long run then protect Palestinians, who will be better off with a different government and get a different regime there.
I would agree. Well, listen, I hope that and you make your point so well today. I hope that you're having the opportunity or have some in the future to speak to other groups and to do exactly what you did here today, which is provide the well-reasoned approach for why these things may be happening, but why they're still not right, and we shouldn't stand for it. And oh, by the way, we're going back to, you know, we're going to be back in our congregation next week. And so, Representative Insler, I know you and I have different party affiliations, and we may disagree on some policy, but on this issue, we stand with you. So, blessings on you.
That means a lot, and that's how it should be. And look, it's a beautiful thing that in our country we have differences, and it's good to have, I think, vigorous debate and dialogue, and you know, have those discussions. But right, it's a blessing when we find that common ground, and I'm really, again, grateful for you on you know, having me on to talk about it. And no, I'll take every opportunity I can get to keep sharing, and you know, appreciate you having me on.
Okay, all right, we'll do it again sometime soon. You have a great day then.
Sounds good. Take care.
Take care. Well, there you have it. As we roll to the break right now, I'll just be honest with you. He and I might be of different party affiliations, but policy differences aside, whew, there is, I do not want to live in an Alabama where bomb threats at synagogues are just like, eh, you know, no big deal. It happens. It's just, you know, just a Jewish community. No, no, not on our watch. Don't let it happen. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. We will be right back. Back, Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative and just plain right. Just, I mean, like, wow, making common sense like a superpower. Ran a tad long so that we can get that full interview in with Representative Insler. I'll take a few text messages for the top of the hour and then wrap this topic up. JT from Lacey Springs says, seems to me Representative Insler is no different than anyone else. Go figure. That's a great point. Somebody who did not give us their name, by the way, tell us where you're from and what your first name is. Says, we're having a gathering at the Blount County Courthouse to support Jewish people on December the 23rd at 10 a.m. So that's great news. And I appreciate that. Blount County Courthouse, December 23rd at 10 a.m. That'd be Saturday. Glenn from Bluntsville says spiritual warfare. I agree. Marcus from Huntsville says, that was a great segment. I wonder when the last time a left-leaning show had a Republican guest speak about solidarity and how they should stand together on an issue. I agree 100%. There are no party lines when it comes to hate. Thank you, Marcus. Appreciate that. Jerry from Decatur says, how do we know we're in the last days? Well, we look at the indicators. Violence covers the earth, like Noah, acceptance of homosexuality, transgenders, etc., anti-Semitism. We watch Israel. What happened October 7th was a prelude. We have 20 years at most. I'm just saying, airborne. Well, Jerry, I hope you're wrong. But you know what? At the same time, my faith prepares me, and I'm loving the idea of rapture theology, just so you know. But anyway, Robert from Athens says, did Ben Shapiro's book, story break down the 18 to 24-year-old group into those college-educated and those real-world-educated? I don't know that it did, no. It just polled them and then listed them by age group. So great point, Robert. I would love to know whether or not the college campuses are where the majority of those polled were found. Mark from Tony says, Obama brought back racism and corrupted our alphabet agencies. Okay. The voice text did not help you, but I think I understand what you're meaning. Jeremy from Decatur. The Squad is apparently a satanic cult, so ungodly and hypocritical and toxic. All right, Jenny, that is true. They are indeed almost cultish in the way they do things, but anyway. Terry from Huntsville says, two questions to ask candidates. Oh, this dates back to the previous segment. Two questions to ask candidates for office. One, where do you see yourself in 5 years? And two, what is your exit strategy? It's time for the Rules Committee to figure out the best practices for handing off the baton. I like that. I like when you're, what is your exit strategy? Excuse me, Mr. Politician running for office. I like your policies. Please tell me, what is your exit strategy?
Is death part of it?
Death is not an exit strategy. Death is a circumstance. All right, coming right back. We'll put a lid on this topic. I got a little more to cover. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. We will be right back. Side ruffians out there, you are listening to Right Side Radio, solid conservative, just plain right.
You're listening live to Right Side Radio with Phil Williams. It's hard to go wrong when you're on the right side. Right Side Radio, solid, conservative, and just plain right.
Alabama's syndicated news talk leader, Right Side Radio. Phil Williams here live in the Right Side Studios. Man, we got the local, the state, the national, sometimes the international. And yeah, like the dude just said, solid conservative and just plain right. Well, it is hour number three. Go home time is upon us for many of you. Why does this feel like a Friday? Does it feel like a Friday to you? I have this odd feeling like I should be able to go home tonight and just put my stretchy pants on and not have to get up early in the morning.
I don't know. It feels like I kind of need another cup of coffee, so maybe not a complete Friday.
That's the sugar crash you and I are having from the maple bacon donuts.
Well, there is that. But yeah, I'm not sure that it feels like a Tuesday.
It doesn't feel like a Tuesday. It feels like I'm further through the week. We hadn't even played the camel yet. I feel like I'm at Friday. Although we do have a Christmas weekend coming up, which is going to be upon us before we know it.
We're going to be so confused.
Yes. All right. I got to take a couple of more text messages. Proud to have brand spanking new in the text line, Jay from Legtown. And I'm going to be honest with you, I had to go check and make sure I knew where Legtown was. Legtown over yonder in, I believe it's in Limestone County, not too far from Elkmont. So Jay from Legtown checking in, and glad to have you in the text string, sir. Thank you so much for being a part of the show. And yeah, it's he says, well, he, she, I don't know. Is initial J. These people are making legislation. We're talking about the ones who stay there forever. These people are making legislation. They won't even live long enough to see what exactly would it take to establish term limits. What is or what would be the steps? Love the show, Phil. And thanks, Jay. So I will tell you this, term limits. It is something that does have to be passed by legislative action. So the rub here is that those who are being limited are those who have to vote to pass the legislation that would then in turn limit them. Now, I did. Down in Montgomery, my friend, State Senator Tripp Pittman, every year he brought a term limits bill, and he would say, Phil, you ready to sign on? Yes, I am. And I was one of the few that would actually sign on to a term limits bill. It never saw the light of day, but by God, we filed that thing. There was one year, in fact, he filed it without getting me, and I said, Tripp, what are you doing? I'm your guy. Anyway, I was one of the few willing to sign on to it.
That might have been the year.
It might have been the year, buddy. But yeah, the only way that can happen, Jay, from Legtown, is if the legislative body will agree to take that action, which, by the way, impacts themselves. And that's the difficult spot. I don't think the founders ever anticipated career politicians, though. It was founded as a truly representative form of government where you went, did your thing, and you went home.
Yeah. Well, and I mean, also, people didn't live. I mean, somebody to have been in office for 50 years would have been like, wow, that guy lived like three lifetimes.
Yeah. Dianne Feinstein was like Methuselah to people in those days.
So to some extent, like, they couldn't even fathomed. Like, oh, but yeah, I mean, I don't, what's the point in democracy if, who are you representing after 50 years of being in D.C.?
Your constituents. Your constituents, Butters. Don't you know? They're there for the people. Anyway, one of the texts that I missed earlier, Badger from Athens, says, my time in the U.S. Air Force, that's how problems got rid of. We promote up and ship out. So we're talking about back then, we were talking about how the only place you could fail up is in government. And so, there's that. All right. And then Raven Russell just texted in. He says a constitutional amendment would also work for term limits. It would. But see, here's the thing, though, Raven. A constitutional amendment has to get passed by the legislature in order to get put on the ballot. That's the thing. At the federal level, maybe you could have the Article 5 convention. But I think that's a dicey proposition. Because Article 5 convention, as soon as you get an Article 5 convention, unless you've had an opportunity to create a selective or a limited Article 5 convention solely related to a single topic, then every liberal in the world is going to get in there and want to undo the Second Amendment or something else. So once you get an Article 5 convention, if it ever happens, it's got to have to be confined to a narrow topic. Otherwise, you're going to have people trying to pick apart the other rights that we don't want touched. But yes, a CA otherwise, though, has to be passed by the legislative body and then voted on and ratified.
Come on, Phil. We'll just do it with an executive order. Let's just get Trump to do it. Term limits through executive order. I'm sure we can do it in these.
Well, Trump is going to be a dictator. He is going to be a dictator. So we know that's possible. He's going to come in. He's going to grant himself presidency for life like Putin did and like Kim Jong-un. And he's going to, you know, and like, you know, Chairman Xi. And he's going to be one of the oligarchs of the world, because that's the thing that everybody believes Trump will do. Knuckleheads. All right, let me go back to my topic at hand and wrap this up. I've got like five articles here, but I'm just going to go with two of them. PJ Media had a piece that came out yesterday. And the title is somewhat inflammatory until you begin to read the rest of the other articles that I've got here too. The headline of the article from PJ Media, written by Robert Spencer, was "How far are we from a full-on pogrom against Jews in America today? Not as far as you think," is what it says. That's the headline. And you look at this and go, wow, come on, man. I mean, you think, really? He says, "Since October 7th, we've seen the ugliest public display of Jew hatred since the demise of the National Socialists in Germany, and it shows no signs of abating. Is this America? Question mark. And he points out that in Nashville, there were synagogues with threats. In Maine, in Michigan, synagogues with threats. He says none of the threats turned out to be genuine, just like the ones here in Alabama. He says no bombs were found, but the threats themselves may have served their intended purpose, because radical leftists and Islamic jihadis love to terrorize those whom they hate and wish to destroy. It goes on to say, in Philadelphia several weeks ago, pro-Palestinian protesters gathered up in front of a falafel shop, a place called Goldie, and they chanted out, Goldie, Goldie, you can't hide, we charge you with genocide. Has the restaurant Goldie been mincing up Palestinians, it says, and serving them up as falafel? No. But the owner of the shop is a guy named Michael Solomon. He's not only Jewish, he's Israeli. So the menacing of Goldie, it says, was far enough over the line that even drew a rebuke from the White House, saying that this is anti-Semitic and completely unjustifiable. But then it goes on to point out, this just happened also in Detroit. Israel haters gathered in front of a townhouse Detroit, in front of Townhouse Detroit, a Jewish-owned restaurant, taunted the owner, a guy named Jeremy Sasson, saying, Jeremy, Jeremy, what do you say? How many kids did you kill today? Did Jeremy kill any kids? No. But because he's Jewish, they believe they can protest him and shout slurs and imply that he's a murderer. The question is then asked, how far are we away from an American Kristallnacht? He says, closer than anyone imagines. Who would have predicted even a year ago we'd be seeing this number of public and unapologetic displays of anti-Semitism? I'm telling you, folks, we got to turn the tide back on this thing. But here's the last article I'll put on this. Fox News had a piece that came out over the weekend. I love this. In fact, I didn't go out and verify this. I'll take the article at face value. It says, in 1818, then former President Thomas Jefferson wrote that though anti-Semitism was widespread and ancient, that there was a hope against it, America. You hear that? Thomas Jefferson said that the hope against anti-Semitism is America. And his nation, he said, our nation, in his words, was the only antidote to this vice. He said, our Constitution protects religious freedoms and places every citizen, no matter their faith, on equal footing. So throughout America's history, millions of Jews have found a home here and flourished in this country. And it's true. And by the way, keep in mind, the state of Alabama, not just Jews, but also the state of the nation of Israel, Alabama was the very first state within the very first nation to recognize the sovereignty of the state of Israel. But the article that I'm reading now from Fox wants to make sure we don't forget certain things. Like, take them in their totality here, all right? Swastikas spray-painted, this is in recent weeks, swastikas spray-painted on Jewish headstones in Ohio, synagogues vandalized in New Jersey and New York, Osama bin Laden's anti-Semitic rants trending on TikTok among kids, thwarted attacks on Jews in California, Texas, and Michigan, pro-Israel protesters beaten and one even killed, Jewish college students targeted at New York City's Cooper Union College while protesters banged on the window they were forced to shelter behind locked doors as the crowd chanted, "Globalize the Intifada." In Indiana, a woman purposely drove her car through a building because she wrongly believed that it housed a Jewish school. It asked the question, in an age when we are so quick to decry injustice, Where's the outrage over these acts of discrimination? It says, Jefferson and his peers designed and left us a republic. Our citizenship in it comes with responsibilities. Participation in a democratic society presupposes discernment, judgment against a certain standard of public comportment. And these judgments cannot be limited to election day. We have to make judgments every day about what is right and wrong, virtuous and unvirtuous, and now is such a moment. Well, I agree with that. That's where I'll end that whole section there. Anti-Semitic angst, I say that now is such a moment. Don't just listen. This is one of those things, you got to say it. If I believe for a second that we are a systemically racist nation, I'd be calling us out to do something about it. I don't believe. I think we've come through so much. State of Alabama, no state's come further. At the same time, I am watching an uptick in anti-Semitism. And I'll be honest with you, we have got to say not on my watch. And we've got to educate the next generation about actual truth. All right, we're taking a break right now. We'll come back and we'll head into the final dipper of the day. It's going to be a three-dipper day. Whoop, whoop. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We will be right back.